This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
Our reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35 to 41. To set this passage in its context, Jesus has been teaching all day by the Sea of Galilee. He's got into a boat because the crowds are immense, and he's told them stories and parables. He's talked to them about the sower going out to sow the seed. He's explained what it meant to his disciples. He's talked about light. You light a lamp and you set it out so that the light can shine. He's talked about the mustard seed. And he has just spent himself in giving all that day to the crowds. And then to escape the crowds, maybe just to get some sleep and rest, they go across the Sea of Galilee again in the boats. Story you know so well. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And we know that God will indeed bless this reading of his holy word. My wife tells me that on average, women have 20,000 words a day and men have 7,000 words a day. Do you think that's right? I think so. So whenever I come home from preaching or church and having preached a sermon and conducted the worship, I'm a bit quiet. And my wife Helen says to me, "You've used up all your words today, have you?" But it amazes me that I can phone a friend and say, "How are you doing? Would you like to meet up for coffee? We'll have a chat." He says, "Yes." I say, "We'll meet at the Guillemot in Bangor." Says, "No problem. 11 o'clock in the morning. Cheerio, bye, the phone's down." My wife phones her friends to arrange a meeting, and 3/4 of an hour later, she hasn't quite got to that bit yet. So I can well believe there's all those words. Well, I think Jesus had probably used up all his words that day. He was exhausted. He needed rest. And so he went to sleep in the boat. What we're looking at this morning is fear and being afraid. So the title of our thought this morning is, "Why Are You Afraid?" Caught in the storm. This little boat that Jesus was in was probably skippered by Peter or his brother or James or John, fishermen who fished on this lake, who knew its waters and its temperament, who knew what it was like. So they probably weren't taken too much by surprise when a very calm sailing suddenly turned different. And sometimes in our lives, things happen suddenly. In an instant, things are going fine, things are going well, then you get a phone call and things are different. Whenever we first moved into our house in Carrickfergus, as I was minister of a new charge, we were able to live in our own house. So we bought this little house just off the North Road. And my wife was out at GB, and I put the kids to bed, and I got a knock on the door, and there were two policemen standing there. And they looked a little shocked. And I said, "What's wrong?" And they asked me, was I... And they gave me the name of the man whom we bought the house off. And I says, "No, he doesn't live here anymore. He sold us his house a few months ago." And they says, "Oh, do you know where he lived?" And I went, "Lived?" And they stupidly then had to tell me that he had been killed in an accident on the top road, and they were going to tell his wife and relatives. And you just think how suddenly life can change, usually for the worse. Suddenly in this little boat and the other ones around it, the wind got up. It was quite a common occurrence down the Jordan Valley, narrow valley, the temperatures all changing and so on, and suddenly from nowhere comes a wind. But this probably was like no other wind. A wind that scared the living daylights out of everybody in that boat, including those who sailed it on a daily basis. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you and I know that feeling. Suddenly, out of nowhere, something happens that is totally and utterly unexpected and maybe can change our lives totally from that moment onwards. Well, a sudden squall was not out of the ordinary. Sometimes I wonder about this, because this was an extraordinary storm. With all the stuff that Jesus had been talking about to the crowds, did it get somebody's back up? Satan certainly didn't like it when the people were flocking to hear Jesus preach and teach the good news. He could tell stories that grabbed people's imagination. He told them things that they had not heard before. He healed the sick. He was making a claim to be the one who was in control of this world. And maybe there was someone else who was deciding, "No, you're not." This storm was like no other. It came tempestuously. Managed to get that word out, but it fitted in with what I wanted to say. The tempest came, and it came with ferocity. Tempestuous. And sometimes we are hit with things that just knock us for six. Family member takes suddenly unwell. We're told that we're going to be made redundant in a couple of weeks. And you're going, mortgage, family. I've got a holiday booked. How am I going to pay for all of this? Suddenly, out of nowhere, this tempest overwhelms you. And I don't know if you've ever had the feeling of being overwhelmed. This little boat was overwhelmed. The water was getting in. It was going to collapse any moment, sink. And in the back of the boat, totally exhausted, still fast asleep, was Jesus. Everybody else thought, this is the end. Do you sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and you're overwhelmed with fear and doubt and despair? Does fear grip your heart? In the middle of the night, everything seems so much worse, doesn't it? Maybe there's somebody in your family who's really ill. Maybe they have an addiction that they cannot break. The chains just hold on to them, and they seem just to be drowning. Overwhelmed by a sense of fear and anxiety. And then panic sets in. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and the rest couldn't believe it. Jesus was still asleep. Why was he still asleep when all this was going on? And they wake him up. And he says, stop. Sorry if I've woken anybody up this morning. Stop. See what I did there? Stop. He said stop to the storm. And it stopped. He said stop to his disciples. Stop. Just think for a moment. Well, in that moment, when he told the wind and the waves to be still, and they were, something absolutely amazing happened. It did become calm. Can I ask you, if you are caught in a cycle of being overwhelmed and panic-stricken and afraid of the future, if this storm seems to be so immense that you're going to drown in it, I want you to stop. Stop for a moment. Who was in this boat with those disciples? The one who could command the wind and the waves to stop. The one who had authority and calmness. The one who could sleep through the storm. And he asks them this question, doesn't he? Why are you so afraid? Can I ask you another question? Who would you want on your side in a crisis? And there is only one answer, really. And that's Jesus. Who promises to be with us always, in all circumstances? Jesus does. Who can calm our fears? Jesus can. Who'll be with you in those difficult moments? Jesus will. Who promises never to desert you? Never to leave you alone. I am with you always, he says. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, wherever, I am always with you. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to get hurt. We're not going to fall ill. We're not going to meet all these things that Satan pulls against us, puts against us, and pulls us, tries to pull us away from Jesus. It's going to hurt. Nobody's saying it won't. But are you going to be overwhelmed? Are you going to be left in a state of panic and of fear? No. That old chorus goes, with Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. Well, it's a bit dodgy in some places, that little chorus. But it does say that we need not be afraid. Jesus can calm the storms in our lives. Sometimes temptation overcomes us. A recovering alcoholic should not go into a pub. A recovering addict to gambling should not go in to a betting shop. Well, you don't need to now. You just can do it on your phone, I suppose. It makes it 20 times worse. But sometimes the temptation seems to be so great. Who can break temptation's power over your life? Who can release you from that prison? Jesus can. I was down at Hope in Chapel Lane a couple of weeks ago, and Teen Challenge there works with Crown Jesus Ministries and Presbytery Owensbury Street, and we're working a whole lot of things together. But there are quite a number of people who have come in through Teen Challenge and what they're doing, who have been addicted to drugs and alcohol and all sorts of things. And Teen Challenge can, if they're willing to, can send them to rehab over in Wales. There was a young man was fixing the roof of the hall. There was a leak in it. And Mitch turned to me and said, 9 months ago, that young man was on the streets outside begging for money. He was a skilled roofer, but addiction to alcohol and to drugs had got a hold of him. We got him into rehab. He came back 3 months ago. He's got a new job, back doing the roofing and that sort of thing. He calls in to see us regularly, and I was talking to him about our roof needing fixed. And he said, I'll fix it for you. If you get the materials, I'll fix the roof for you for free. And so he did. He fixed the roof. And you think, who can make that difference? What changed that young man's life all around? Wasn't just meeting Teen Challenge, but the one whom they introduced him to, Jesus. Sometimes passion overcomes us, sexual temptation, and so on is so big. How can you ever watch a film on TV now, but something is there about breaking up relationships, about adultery and all that sort of stuff. You think you cannot resist this passion. But it wrecks so many lives, doesn't it? Breakup of families, children left without a parent, infighting, bitterness and divorce. Children get caught in the middle between mum and dad. And then a new partner comes into the scene and it complicates it even more. What about promises that you made when you got married? For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to death? Just part. Well, Jesus can heal those broken relationships. If you listen to his voice saying, stop, come and follow me, then all that brokenness can be healed. And what about people who get stuck in sorrow? Your life's partner has died. Does that mean life is over for you? Cancer just robbed you of them quickly sometimes, far too quickly. Maybe long drawn out illness, the sorrow of someone whom you love with dementia and them forgetting who you are. All of that just can so overwhelm you. Just some examples of the storms that come our way in life. But stop for a minute. Just stop and think. Who has promised to be with you always? Jesus. If he can calm the wind and the waves and bring hardened sailors to the point of going, wow, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. He is God incarnate, sleeping in their boat in the midst of the storm. And he wants you to stop for a moment this morning and think. There are things that happen to me I cannot do anything about. There are things that I can do something about that I have allowed to take control of my life. But in the panic, in the feeling of being overwhelmed, in the feeling of deep sorrow that seems to have brought your life to an end, there is one whom you can turn to. And that one is Jesus. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He's been there and done that. And he promises that if you trust in him, though the path may be hard and difficult, You are not walking it alone. I'm not a Liverpool supporter, but when you hear the Cop singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," it does make you tingle a bit. But that's only a pop song, really. But the truth is, Jesus promises that we will never walk alone if we trust the one who has the power to change things. Let us pray. I don't know what you're afraid of today, if you're afraid of anything. I don't know what storms that you have faced, and they seem to have been overwhelming. Maybe you have discovered the one who can calm your fears and bring hope and light where there was despair and darkness. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who can calm our fears, that can stop the panic, and give us peace and hope in the midst of difficult and challenging circumstances. He is the one who can break the chains of addiction. He can give us the power to resist the temptation that comes all our ways. He is the one who will be with us in those deep moments of sorrow and of loss. You are never, ever alone if Jesus is your Savior, Lord, and friend. May he be that to each and every one of us in church this morning. May you know his peace in your heart and in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Almighty Creator God, we come before you now with our prayers for others, confident that you love us and hear us, and that you will guide us. Father, we can't begin to understand the suffering of those who are living in dark places in our world today. Where there is war, terrorism, cruelty, or injustice, we pray for children who are sick or hungry. We pray for people fleeing for their lives with no place to call home. We pray for men and women living in fear. Lord, we ask for peace in these places. Give politicians wise words and careful responses. Protect and enable aid agencies to bring help, hope, and healing to those in need. May your Holy Spirit be powerful in the dark places of this world. Heavenly Father, we pray for our own communities, for our families, and for people we know who are finding life difficult at the moment. People struggling with financial hardship, ill health, loneliness, and bereavement. We pray too for those who are afraid, who feel inadequate in the face of life's daily demands. Those trapped in addiction or in domestic violence. Let them feel your presence, your comfort and strength, and let them know they are supported by your everlasting love. Speak to us, Lord, and show us how we can help and encourage them. We pray for our own local community. Today we especially pray for the people in Malone Park Lane, Balmoral Gardens and Balmoral Drive, for the people in Strangford Avenue, Shrewsbury Gardens and Shrewsbury Drive, and on the Lisburn Road down towards Lisley Avenue, Larkstone Street and Capstone Street. Lord, you know all those people's names and you know their needs and concerns. Draw near to them and let them experience your love. We pray this morning for Catherine as she is leading worship at Tokmona. We pray that you will be with that congregation as future plans for them are worked out. We ask for guidance and blessing in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland as we decide who will be the next moderator. Give wisdom and insight as decisions are made. Father, we thank you that the assembly at Stormont is getting back to business. Help our politicians to work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation as they seek a way forward over the next weeks and months. Loving God, we thank you that you hear our prayers. We ask that your light would shine through our lives so that we may show your love to the world. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.